India says it shot down an unmanned Pakistani spy plane today over the disputed border region of Kashmir. Pakistan says it had no spy planes there. Tensions between the two countries remain high, with thousands of troops massed at their border. U.S. officials worry that a war between India and Pakistan could affect ongoing military action in Afghanistan. With the Afghanistan mission now largely focused on the hunt for Taliban and Al-Qaeda leaders, what's next in the war on terror? Joining us by phone is Michael O'Hanlon, a senior fellow with the Brookings Institution. Michael, how could a war between Pakistan and India affect the war on terrorism?
It would be a serious development, there's no doubt. For one thing, Pakistan, which of course has the smaller of the two countries and smaller militaries, would have to redeploy a lot of the forces that are now along the Afghan border eastward towards Kashmir and towards its other borders with India. That would be the most obvious immediate effect, because it would mean that Pakistan could no longer try to cut off escape routes for any Al-Qaeda that are still trying to flee from Afghanistan into Pakistan or other regions from there. Secondly, it would mean that the American use of Pakistani military bases in the western and southern parts of Pakistan might be impeded, because, of course, we would be vulnerable to an Indian attack, and Pakistan may need those bases for its own armed operations. And then there are, of course, the broader political implications of what this could mean for Mr. Musharraf and his basic hold on power, especially if, as I suspect, Pakistan lost the war. So for a number of very serious reasons, even leaving aside the nuclear weapons issue, this could be a major development, and certainly a negative one in every sense of the word.
Well, President Bush said yesterday that the war in Afghanistan has entered what he called a dangerous phase, as U.S. forces go cave to cave searching for Taliban leaders. How long do you think the U.S. military can continue this type of operation?
I think the U.S. military, frankly, can continue this as long as necessary. I think that as tragic as the death of Mr. Chapman was this past week, this is a serious enough conflict that we have to be willing, and we are willing, to risk American lives. So I don't think there's any real limit on how long we can sustain this particular effort.
Michael, what about peacekeeping operations? How hard do you think it'll be for the U.S. or coalition forces to act as a policing force in Afghanistan, and how long can they sustain that effort?
This is certainly a tough one. I think that the peacekeeping effort right now is overly limited to Kabul, and it's going to be necessary to extend it to other parts of Afghanistan where food supplies are not yet getting through, where security is poor. I don't believe the Afghans are going to be able to do it on their own. That being said, of course, right now the peacekeepers don't have authorization to go any further, and the U.S. is not that enthusiastic about their doing so. So I really think this is going to be one of the more nettlesome problems. We can hope for the best and hope that the banditry subsides, the warlords all get along, and there doesn't need to be a real strong international presence outside of the capital city. But I'd be quite surprised if that proved to be the case.
Some analysts have been saying that Iraq is the next target for the U.S. military. If that's the case, do you think that strategies used in Afghanistan will work in Iraq?
Well, we can try them, but I think the fundamental point in Iraq to realize is that Iraq has a 400,000-person strong military, and 100,000 of those people are very devoted to Saddam Hussein. It's the Republican Guard and the Special Republican Guard. They fear him more than they fear us right now, and more than they fear their own opposition. So I think that special forces might be able to do something, but the only way to really convince that Republican Guard not to fight on behalf of Saddam and to turn against him is, or to defect and surrender, as we've seen the Taliban do in much of Afghanistan, the only way to create that effect is for the U.S. to build up a major force and be ready to wage a Desert Storm 2 sort of operation. So in that sense, I do not believe the Afghanistan model is a very plausible one for Iraq, and I think Americans who are arguing otherwise are really basing their strategy more on hope than on serious analysis. And frankly, I think we have to prepare for the worst in order to achieve the desirable outcome.
What kind of fallout do you think there will be if the U.S. decides to go after Saddam Hussein in Iraq? What effect will that have, for instance, on coalition or on the opinion of Muslim nations?
Well, even though I'm a skeptic about the need to overthrow Saddam, given the high military costs that would be associated with it, I don't think that we would have huge political problems in the end. Many countries are unenthusiastic about seeing us just drop a lot more bombs on Iraq. We've been doing that for 10 years to no great effect. It kills Iraqi civilians. It does not really threaten Saddam's hold on power or his weapons of mass destruction programs. But if we actually put forces in place to overthrow him, and we were serious about it, not just trying to give a few arms to the opposition, but putting in enough Americans to march on Baghdad if necessary, and actually overthrowing Saddam in the process, I think most countries would ultimately be glad. This would be an opportunity for us to lift sanctions on the Iraqi people. It would be an opportunity to obviously put Saddam Hussein out of business and try to get our hands on his weapons of mass destruction. It would allow countries like Russia and France to resume their trade with Iraq. I think if we succeeded, and that's the big if, the opposition would quickly melt away in most places. But succeeding really means being ready to do Desert Storm 2. And so far, I haven't seen any great evidence that most people who want to overthrow Saddam are serious about being willing to marshal that kind of effort. Until they are, I think we have to worry about domestic and international political resistance. Because if we just drop a few bombs on Iraq and get a few more opposition militia forces killed in the process by arming them and not really helping them, it's just going to elicit more resistance and more anger in the Arab world, and that would be a big mistake.
Michael O'Hanlon is a senior fellow with the Brookings Institution. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Lisa.